Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
That's a great way to start. Hello, everyone.
Notification come across straight across the phone now. We are about to break news right now.
Hello, everyone. This is the Final Play Podcast, NBA edition. We may as well start with our breaking news because we may as well get in before everyone else does. with a four-team trade in the NBA between the Hawks, Rockets, Wolves, and Nuggets. Houston have picked up Robert Covington. Atlanta have picked up...
Is he a center? I'm not sure. I don't know.
Yeah, well, he's taller than PJ Tucker. Anyway, Atlanta have picked up Clint Capella and Nene, so Houston have no center stock.
Officially Minnesota, no centers on the roster.
Minnesota picked up Malik Beasley, Hernan Gomez, Evans Herner, and 2020 first round draft pick from Brooklyn, which I think was owned by Houston. And Denver picked up Gerald Green, Keita Bates, Diop, and a 2020 first round unprotected pick from Houston. So, yeah, well, you said it sort of straight there. Houston, they just went full, we're going small ball and that's it, because clearly it worked for the Warriors, or what?
Oh, I don't know. Obviously, they don't see the value in rim protection or anything. But a lot of their offense does come through Capella as well, whether it's Westbrook or Harden. You know, like just rim running and catching lobs and stuff like that. So they're gonna have to change. Well, they're gonna miss that.
Yeah.
PJ Tucker don't do that. PJ Tucker sits in them corners.
Oh, look, if it worked, like it hasn't. We said it sort of at the top of the pod. Before the pod came on, and you were saying the small ball has been working for him. So maybe D'Antoni's just get. Well, this is what we got to do. Let's see if we can get, you know, another three-pointer so we can shoot 90 shots.
Yeah, no, so. Yeah, it's right. Yeah, it's going to be 95 three-point shots per game for Houston.
Minnesota picked up a couple of decent sort of players, but I don't know. They have got rid of a lot of players.
They're unloading that roster.
You know, Jordan Bell, Robert Covington, Shabazz Napier, Bates Diop, you know, it's just, yeah, they are. I mean, unless they're really building to the rumor of trying to get D'Angelo Russell, I don't know.
That was the rumor a couple of days ago that they were on the hunt for D'Angelo Russell. Obviously, they didn't get him. But them picking up Beasley, obviously he's not a D'Angelo Russell, but he's a handy guy off the bench. He's been in and out of the rotation too at Denver, so. He had a really good season last year, and I think he's had a good start to this season. I don't know why he's dropped out of the rotation.
I think they're in disarray. I mean, they're on a league worse now. I've lost 12 in a row. They're just above the Timberwolves. The Warriors. They're in panic mode or. I don't know. I mean, we were saying at the start of the season how good they were playing. And you know, in fairness to them, I suppose they've had injuries.
Carl Anthony Towns has been out for a little bit. I think he missed 9 or 10 games or so this year. Wiggins has been out. They've been playing Shabazz Napier at point guard, like starting point guard, and letting Jeff Teague just fester on the bench, even though I think Jeff Teague was getting about 20 to 25 minutes a game, but you know, Jeff Teague now is back in Atlanta, so they sort of got, you know, they've gotten rid of him. It's just bizarre why they think that's working, and they don't think that Jeff Teague can sort of contribute. And like you said, a league worst 12 losses on the trot, but you don't think there's a lot of contributing factors there for Minnesota being this bad. I don't know.
And the other one is, what the hell's happening with their 6th round draft pick, Jared Culver? Like, he, you know, he was, of what I read before coming into the draft, he was touted pretty highly coming out of Texas Tech, but I haven't heard, you know, a lot of him in, and he's not getting many. So his average at the moment is he's only getting 24 and a half minutes and 9.2 points per game. So
yeah, that's. I guess whether or not that's doing. Just whether that's rookie development, and you know they've got if he's just not getting in the rotation, he may get into some rotation now at the end of the year if they're just going to completely tank for the rest of this season. Like, why not play him?
Yeah, well, I mean, to me, it's a perfect sort of you know, it's like the Warriors. Like, look what they're doing. Like, they're not intentionally tanking. They don't have anybody, so they're putting their, you know, their first year sort of guys there, and they were playing good. It was, well, towards the first bit of the season, at least, anyway.
Yeah, they've sort of got a little bit that they've got that little bit of, for, you know, 2/3 of the way through the season fatigue syndrome, I guess, a little bit. You know, that they played a lot of unexpected minutes. A lot of those guys, and even guys like Glenn Robinson III.
Yeah.
You know, Alec Burks, would they have expected to be playing starters minutes for most of this season? You know, I wouldn't think so. So, you know, we're coming into pretty much 2/3 into the season now. So a lot of players like that, especially on the Warriors, will be getting that little bit of fatigue, and they'll be hanging for that All-Star break so they can have a bit of a rest.
Well, speaking of the Timberwolves, a couple of games that were this week, we'll only touch on a few because there's a lot more to talk about. But that first sort of towards the start of the week, they went down by 4 points in overtime to Sacramento Kings. And it was a pretty wild game all around. I mean, just for the Kings to come back from that deficit alone was, I think they were nearly down 20 points.
They were down 27. Wow. Yeah. They were down 17 going into the final 3 minutes, yeah. And here comes the useless stat of the week. Going into that game, since 96-97, since play-by-play data has been available, teams that were trailing by 17 points or more in the final 3 minutes were 0 and 8,378 until that game.
Wow.
So it was an insane... And yeah, right at the end there, they had the perfect execution with De'Aaron Fox, you know, basically pegging it at the front of the rim, it coming straight back to him and him putting in the layup to tie the game near the end of regulation. I think it was 119 all.
Yeah.
And, you know, just so the league can come out and spoil a little bit of fun for that everybody. So, well, I don't think Sacramento fans are having too much fun, but... Yeah, sort of to spoil a little bit of fun, they sort of come out and said that should not have that front rim shouldn't have counted. It would have been a lane violation because he actually broke the plane at the free throw line before the ball actually touched the hoop. So yeah, just raining everyone's parade a little bit because that was a pretty wild sort of end to that game. They just Sacramento just couldn't miss. Like, it was unbelievable.
Buddy Hield couldn't miss.
Yeah, he had 20 points in the fourth quarter. It was crazy. Had 42 off the bench. And he's been playing off the bench the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, what do you think of that? Like, Bogdanovich has been starting. And Bogdanovich is... He hasn't been playing bad, but he hasn't been playing lights out either.
I guess they're just trying for a little bit of balance, I guess, to not, you know, maybe have such a high-powered, you know, offense... Or, you know, a high-powered team as starters, and then when your bench guys come on, it's pretty ordinary, and their depth's been tested a bit this year because, you know, De'Aaron Fox has been out this year, Marvin Bagley's been out this year. They've had a few injuries.
I thought Buddy Hield was probably carrying an injury as well, but I can't remember.
I think he's missed a few games this year, but I don't think he's missed any extended, you know, like weeks on end like De'Aaron Fox and Marvin Bagley have. But Bogdanovich has been he's been pretty solid. That's one of their I guess sort of trade pieces that they would be looking at for possible first round picks for next season. So whether or not he'll actually stay in Sacramento or not, I haven't heard a whole lot recently. You know, sort of recent rumors about
Sacramento. No,
about Bogdan. So Yeah, that's sort of been pushed by the wayside a little bit. So yeah, that was a pretty wild sort of finish there. We had like Milwaukee put up 151 on Washington on like the day after that on Wednesday. Bradley Beal had 47 points. Middleton had 51 points. There was some good games actually. Seeing the Pistons on ESPN earlier in the week on Thursday was kind of strange to sort of watch. Just seeing the Pistons on ESPN because they'd had generally get a lot of sort of main TV coverage. So yeah, that was sort of interesting to see. They put up a little bit of fight against Brooklyn. They ended up losing by 10. I think it was 125-115. And then, yeah, I guess we could sort of go on about the bit of a historical run that that Damian Lillard is on at the moment. Wow. It's just he has just been holy crap! Like he has just been on an unseen tear, like just unbelievable.
Even he himself, he's come out and said he's not sure what's happening because he's never played like this in his career.
No, that's right.
So it's it's how many consecutive 50-point games has he got now?
Well, he's had 350 point games in the last six. Since he had the big 61 against Golden State, which was in Portland, and they had to claw their way back to win that game. Since he had the 61, he's had 47, 50, 36, and then 48. And then even before the 61, he had two 34-point games. And he's averaging over 10 assists. He's averaging over 10 assists.
I don't know what to say because, I mean, the Blazers themselves are still outside that, you know, like, as well as he's playing, they're still outside the top eight.
Well, they haven't been winning all their games. That's the thing. Like he's been putting up monster numbers, but they're not quite getting over the line. So you'd hope that this sort of run would transition into wins, but it's not really getting there.
Well, I just with them, like you know, we'll touch on trade deadline and sort of all that later, but it's hard for them because they have, you know, decent players that are just injured, like Yusuf Nurkic and Zach Collins and that. So, trade?
They've got Scala BCR. Like, they've got injuries just
CJ McCollum's injured at the moment.
CJ McCollum has been hurt this season. Like, it's been crazy. Rodney Hood is gone with an Achilles injury. Like, it's just...
So...
It's crazy.
I don't know with them. I mean... Do they sit on what they got and then hope they make the eight, or they, you know, do they look, you know, look?
Some of the guys that have got trade value are hurt.
Well, that's right. I mean, the only other one that I would think that would have trade value to at least sort of palm off to get rid of is Hassan Whiteside, purely for the fact of he's on an expiring contract.
Well, empty contract. That's right.
And the one person I think that would fit as another expiring contract there would be Andre Drummond. So just because he's in an expiring contract.
Drummond has a player option though, doesn't he? Or is he on a full expiring contract?
He has a player option, but he'll decline it because he's only going to get $27.5 million, and he's obviously worth more than that. So.
Yeah, so it's an unfair deal either way because Whiteside's not worth 27.
Well, unless Whiteside opts out, like if he plays well enough and opts out and he's happy to stay at Trailblazers, but
once they get Nurk back, then you know he's going to be not so much pushed by the way he's you know pushed to the back of the line, but he's once healthy, Nurkic is going to be the starting center there. Like he'll be able to continue on being the starting center for the rest of this year. And when Yusuf Nurkic comes back, he'll have to be on a minutes restriction. He'll come off the bench, and they'll have to work him back into the offense. So, Whiteside has been lucky. He's been putting up some good numbers. Like, he's had some pretty good games. Is he close to, if not the league leader in blocks as well this season?
Yeah.
I think he's in the top five at least. It's him and Gobert and Anthony Davis.
I think he is. I just don't know if he's consistent enough. That's my only.
Offensively, he's not. I'm not sure what to sort of make of Hassan Whiteside. Is he's fairly limited offensively, but he's got long arms, and he's not a dumb player by any means. Right. He's a smart guy, and he's a decent rim runner. He can be a little bit slow, but he's a decent rim runner.
He is leading
the league in blocks, and number two is rather shocking. That's Brook Lopez.
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
I don't know. Probably all that wrestling thing they're doing pre-game.
Yeah, that's true.
The Bucks are loving it, just doing switch and music and everything.
Gets you worked up.
I don't know. Actually, Bucks getting worked up. I don't know. Oh, you're right. I don't know, but he's an expiring. I don't know. Like, the thing is, he's a deep. Like you said, he is a half decent center when he's on it. But is another team going to pay, you know, $27 million for him, because that's what he's sort of currently on now? I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Were there any other sort of games you want to touch on before we move on to some? A lot of news.
A lot of news. So we might get too into it. Like, the two LA games that were in Staples by the Clippers and by the Lakers after Kobe's death. Yeah, both LA teams got beaten. The Clippers got beat by Sacramento. Wouldn't have picked that one. And the Lakers obviously they pretty much got run out of the building by Portland and Damian Lillard with his 48 points. So I just thought emotionally, the occasion might have got the most, or you know, the better of both of the LA teams. Like, they're both back on track now. The Clippers are back, and Paul George is playing again. He's missed a few games recently with various types of load management injuries. Just the other one that was like a primetime game that was on ABC over in the States was Boston and Philadelphia, where Embiid had another sort of implosion type game where he had like 1 of 11, only scored like 11 points, had 4 rebounds or something, and he didn't want to talk to the media afterwards. Like he essentially, I don't know how a guy that size gets bullied around by Boston's lack of that. They don't have any size anymore, and he just got bullied around.
We were worried about Boston when they, when they lost Aaron Baines and Al Horford.
Eyeball's been great.
I don't know what to make, not of Embiid, but just the Philadelphia 76ers in general.
I get it. They're six. Like, the Eastern the bottom part of the Eastern Conference playoff standings, or, you know, teams that are there, they're not good. And Philadelphia is a part of that.
So a lot of things I've read, like, if you, and everyone keeps saying it seems to be correct. Like, clearly, Simmons and Embiid are not going to win a championship together. It doesn't look like it's going to happen. But on the other side is what a lot of people are saying. If you have a team going forward, who do you keep, or who do you start with? Who would you take? Would you take Ben Simmons or Joel Embiid? Because there's a lot of arguments both ways.
Oh yeah, no, definitely. That's what I mean. We said a couple of weeks ago. I said until Ben Simmons has a willingness to shoot outside of 5 to 6 feet around the hoop, then you just simply have to take Joel Embiid. He can do more for you.
Which I get. It's the health that concerns me with him.
Oh, of course, that's right. Yeah, exactly. That's the problem. He's got a good upside, but boy, has he got. You know, he's got a pretty ordinary downside as well. You know, the best ability is availability, And he doesn't have that all that often.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do with them because I don't see them. They'll probably play out this year. I just don't see those two staying together. And I don't know how long it's going to be, but I just those two.
They're going to have to pull the trigger there, or unfortunately, it could be Brett Brown's job.
Yeah,
but them underachieving, which would be very unfortunate.
It would be, but I mean, you know, the whole trust the process thing. I think the process is pretty much up now. I think they've got a
process is done. It's done. This needs to come to fruition. It doesn't need to be losses in the Eastern Conference semis. It's got to come to, you know, Eastern Conference finals and or at least getting to the NBA finals with the amount of work and time over the past 5 years that they've put into this. You know, they need to start cashing in
because their contracts are scary. You're right. If they don't make the finals either at the Eastern or the NBA finals, it'd be Brett Brown. It's seen as a loss because they've tied up Ben Simmons, they've tied up Tobias Harris and Al Horford to massive contracts.
Mm-hmm.
Joel Embiid's his contract's still going, but it's not as big as all those guys. Those guys have 5-year contracts.
But in a couple of years, he'll be up for an extension and he will command big bucks. And that's the thing that sucks about it as well, because it'll be like, oh, we'll only play 50 games a year. Or only play 60 games a year, and he's still gonna command max money.
That's right. So that's what I mean. That's the whole argument.
And there's going to be the problem's going to be that there's going to be teams out there that'll pay it. If Philadelphia won't, and I know a team absolutely that would pay max money for him. And all he's got to do is move a couple of hours north and play in the world's most famous arena.
Well, that's true.
They'll pay him.
That's true. And he'd probably, in a weird way, I think he'd relish being in that New York spotlight.
Oh my God, are you kidding? He would love playing in New York with his personality.
Oh, big time.
He'd absolutely love it.
He would be probably on Saturday Night Live probably every 4 weeks if he could. I swear to God, just because he could. That's not really a bad thought. Joel Embiid in New York.
He would love it, man. But the only problem is that, you know, with this performance just gone by, you know, 1-for-11, the media demands answers, and not talking to the media at all is, that's not terrific.
That to me, that doesn't seem to bother. Well, it doesn't bother him, but you know, in New York's case,
I'll just roast him for that.
But the fans will. But you know, I don't know. Like, he's probably a kind of guy that even if he gets roasted, he wouldn't care. I don't know. I mean, look what's happening to the New York Knicks now. They just fired their general manager, and I think they're trying. To go after Masai Ujiri for next year. So. Which is great if they can get him. I don't see he'd have to have massive control to go there. Dolan would have to give up heaps of control.
Yeah, well, Dolan doesn't have this year particularly. He's been trying to not have as much sort of oversee and everything over the running the day to day running of the Knicks, and he's been putting that in Steve Mills and Scott Perry, but. Now there's only one of them, and that means now Scott Perry's going to have to be doing two jobs again.
Yeah.
So I just and what are we three days out from the trade deadline?
Yeah. Well, then I actually thought, especially with Marcus Morris, Marcus Morris is pretty decent. Like if I was a contender. I'll be going after Marcus Morris.
Oh yeah, he's been putting up great numbers. He's scoring 17, 18 points.
In the last 10 or 15 games,
he's been scoring over 20 a game. He's been playing great. Somebody's got to get the shots there. You know, whether it's Julius Randle, whether it's him. You know, Elfrid Payton's not a guy that's going to be taking a lot of shots. Frank Ntilikina's not taking a lot of shots. They don't have Dennis Smith Jr. there at the moment. He's sort of he can be a bit of a volume guy. They just don't have guys that are going to take a lot of shots. RJ Barrett doesn't look like he's a crazy volume shooter, and his percentages shooting wise are just they're not good. They're not good at all. Somebody's got to take shots. So why not Marcus Morris?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Why not Marcus Morris
well,
to me?
So and Julius Randle still playing well. You know, still playing his bully ball. Like he's not taking as jump shots. You know, a la Benny Vincent. Shout out to Benny there.
Yeah, well, I'll agree. That guy,
Julius Randle.
That guy can tend to take some out there shots, and I'm not talking about Julius Randle here. I'm talking about Benny Vincent here. Oh, he's gonna hate us. It's awesome. We'll have to tag
him. Oh, love it. That's all right. I'll see him in a couple of weeks on Wednesday.
Smiles. Just because we might as well keep segueing. Speaking of bloody the Knicks, they suffered a bad loss against the Grizzlies, 127-106. But towards the end of the game, Jay Crowder and Elfrid Payton got tossed late in that fourth quarter because Jay Crowder, Elfrid Payton was going to get the ball, and Jay Crowder just came around the corner, stole the ball, came back to the three-point line and shot the three, and Elfrid Payton just pushed him.
Full two-hand shove right into those front seats there at Madison Square Garden, where what I thought was kind of funny, that nobody was sitting in them.
Well, that's true.
It's late in the game, but yeah, there was nobody. Man, if I was paying those exorbitant amount of money for those front row tickets at Madison Square Garden, I would be sitting there until security told me to get the F out.
Yeah.
I would just sit there. I wouldn't care. I want to get as much value out of that ticket price as humanly possible.
It's an unwritten rule in the NBA, I suppose all of basketball, that, you know, if your team's up by 20 or 30, you don't go out there and how do I say? I guess you don't go out there and you steal the ball, shoot a three.
Well, you can see that there was just a lack of effort. You know, they were just being nonchalant about everything, and then it's like, all right, let's just hurry up and get, you know, this game over and done with. So I think it might have been Julius Randle that sort of tossed the ball in sort of half-heartedly, and Elfrid Payton got half a hand on it, and Crowder comes in and sort of steals it and goes, hey, hell yeah, I can get another, yeah, I can get my 3-point percentage up, and yeah, sort of jacks up a corner three, and Elfrid Payton didn't take too kindly to that, so yeah, just gave him the full two-handed shove and the ensuing scuffle that. Elfrid Payton was pissed, man. Like even afterwards, he is still going at it. And it's like, holy moly, that really upset him.
Well, look,
I get it. It's been a frustrating season, you know, for the Knicks and everything. You know, I get it. But but he was hot, man. Like he was still joying. There was Knicks coaching staff trying to hold him back. You're like, holy moly, man. He took that way too personally.
And really, like you, I think you've mentioned it before, like regardless of he shouldn't have shot it, and he probably should have just slapped him on the wrist, but you know, you don't need to shove a man point blank. And
shove like that is just unnecessary.
There was if he could have shoved him hard enough to get into those sort of front row seats and could have hit his, you know, there's a lot of things he could have done. So
spilled somebody's
Well, this is true. That's a bit of the size bill of someone's beard. You'd probably get up and just whack Crowder or Payton.
Yeah, exactly. You just hit him over the head with a plastic cup.
True. Move on to sort of about the all sorters. I can't speak today. The all-star games. I got a sore ankle and I can't speak in my mouth.
Can't speak, can't walk.
Can't walk, can't speak. The 2020 All-Star Game is Feb 14 to Feb 16. The it's in Chicago. The All-Star starters have been confirmed. Obviously, with the last 2 years, Giannis and LeBron James are the both captains. They get to pick their players. So these are the starters. They have to pick from the starters, and then it goes to reserves. But the it's hard. You don't have to really call them West and East All-Stars. These are the All-Star starters. So you've got Giannis, LeBron, Anthony Davis, James Harden, Joel Embiid, Kawhi Leonard, Luka Doncic, Pascal Siakam, Kemba Walker, and Trae Young. And just in those starters, the Luka, Pascal, and Trae. Wow. Yeah.
That's right. The first time All-Star starters, what's going to happen? Luka Doncic is hurt.
Do you think he'll be there? I still got
10 days.
I think he'll be there for the fact of, well, I don't know. I mean, it's up to Dallas, I suppose. They're still you know, thick into that playoff contention. And I just think it's be a coming out party for him, really.
Yeah, I get it. But it's. I mean, he's going to be a superstar for the next, you know, 10 to 15 years. He's going to have plenty of those. Like, I get it. You know, he's young and it'd be good for him to sort of have that experience. But if he's not right, like, you simply can't risk him in an All-Star game scenario.
So like you,
I can't think of the last time somebody got hurt in an All-Star game.
Do you think he's going to play, or?
That's what I mean. He's got 10 days. I'm sure that they'll be watching him like a hawk. And if he goes into there with no games under his belt, I don't know. I don't think it'd be a very smart idea to play him.
It looks like he won't be out. He'll be out until Feb 10, so that's 4 days before. But he's technically down at the moment for two games on that All-Star weekend. He's in that rookie sophomore game as well.
Sophomore challenge as well, yeah.
If anything, he'd probably pull out of that and maybe go to the All-Star one. But
exactly.
It just depends on Dallas. I mean, how does that work? Does Dallas have to pull the trigger and just say, no, we don't want him to play? Or is it up to
I would think so.
Yeah.
Either that or whether Dallas would surely they'd have the final call on it, but they would have to ask him as well whether or not he thinks he would be able to play, whether or not it's both games or not, or unfortunately, you know, pull him out of the US versus the world All-Star, you know, the rookie sophomore. That'd be the only thing that would do, is just yank him out of that game and then put him in the All-Star game on the Sunday night.
The reserves that Giannis and LeBron will get to pick from, starting with Bam Adebayo, so first-time All-Star, well-deserved, personally.
Oh, yeah, no, he's been playing.
Another well-deserved, Brandon Ingram, first-time All-Star. Chris Paul, which I'll talk about in a second. Rudy Gobert, Damian Lillard, Donovan Mitchell, the Joker, Nikola Jokic, Ben Simmons, Kyle Lowry, Domantas Sabonis, who another person I thought would be well deserved the way he's been playing lately.
Oh yeah.
Just averaging double doubles like it's going out of fashion. Jason Tatum, Jimmy Butler, Chris Middleton, and Russell Westbrook. Chris Paul definitely. I really want to touch on him first because it's definitely well deserved. You know, he's now 10 times.
I don't know what the conjecture is there. Like, Chris Paul 100% deserves to be there. Yeah, he's not putting up the eyeball popping numbers, but look at what Oklahoma City are doing. Who would have thought they'd be? What are they? 10 games over 500?
Yeah. No one thought about it.
I don't care what anybody says. He is a major reason for that.
Kyle Lowry is the one that, to me, not that didn't deserve. Mm. I didn't see why he should have been picked.
Hmm. That's a funny sort of one. Oh, I'm not sure why he was put in there.
So you got the East. So you're looking at
People saying Jaylen Brown.
Detroit. What about
play
Derek
him
Rose?
At guard? You could play. Derek Rose. And the other thing is too is Derek Rose is actually out at the moment too. He's got a bit of a left groin injury. Yeah, okay. So that's not terrific, but hopefully he could sort of get over that. And if he was selected, you know, for him to play in the All-Star game, I think it should have been Derek Rose's spot.
I think so, but unless you're right, unless he was sort of injured, but I think, you know, just being in Chicago All-Star, he's playing well. That would have just been like, you know, it just would have been one of those sort of magical moments, you know, going back to where you first picked. So
that's right. And he's a Chicago native, so, you know, that just would have been, it would have been really, I reckon it would have been really good for him. It is to say to me, I haven't really heard too much about the Rose injury since I heard about it at the start of the week. But yeah, if it's just a bit of a groin strain, then that he could be, that could be, you know, a week, 2 weeks.
Well, interestingly enough, the other set, the other participants in the set, I guess for the whole weekend, the Saturday night, he's in the skills challenge. He's been selected in the skills challenge.
There's their token little run for him to say, hey, look, we've got, we've got Derrick Rose here. Everybody should start to cheer.
Well, so they've got it's a pretty interesting sort of list, the skills challenge, as in like a mix of guards and forwards. So Bam Adebayo,
they did that last year as well. It was dumb.
Yeah, it was Well, Bam Adebayo, Patrick Beverley, Spencer Dinwiddie, who to me, well, I think another person that probably could have made
All star. He could have definitely been an All Star.
Chris Middleton, who's another big reason why Milwaukee Bucks are playing that well. Like, I know everyone talks about Giannis, but God, that guy's averaging 21 points a game. He just Derrick Rose, Sabonis, Pascal Siakam, and Jason Tatum in the skills challenge. The dunk contest, which I haven't talked to you about, but only because of one person. So Derrick James Jr., which if you talk to Big D out there, like, he's going to win it no matter what.
Absolutely.
Dwight Howard, who's, I don't know, boy. I think it's like a nostalgic sort of thing. Aaron Gordon and Pat Connaughton from the Milwaukee Bucks.
Pat Connaughton. When I seen that, I'm like, what?
Yes. Two of these
selections, do people just not want to be a part of this at all? Like, I don't get why there's really no prestige about this anymore. I get it. Like, Zach LaVine didn't want a part. I don't understand. Pat Connaughton?
Well,
Dwight Howard?
Speaking of Dwight Howard, I don't know. Yeah, Pat Connaughton, I can't work out. Dwight, I guess sort of the nostalgia side, but with like Zach LaVine, he's in the 3-point contest. I'm wondering if he had the choice and he's just decided to go the 3-point contest.
I think he's going to get murdered in that.
Well, if you look at the people who are in it, so Davis Burton's, Devontae Graham, Joe Harris, Buddy Hield, who will probably win everything in that, Zach LaVine, Dame Lillard, Duncan Robinson, and Trae Young. Actually, that's a pretty stacked sort of 3-point contest.
No, that doesn't matter. Damian Lillard's winning that hands down. Like, it doesn't matter.
And why? Because tell them about the new rules. Why is Damian Lillard most likely going to win this?
I can't stand these new Utah. This isn't the big three, people. This isn't the big three. We have a 4-point shot. Let's just have a 5-point shot from the other free throw line at the other end. It's dumb.
Okay, dumb. So each round will now be a total of 27 shots instead of 25. They'll get a 70-second clock instead of the 60. Reason being, because two extra shots will be from 6 feet beyond the 3-point line. And they'll be stationed sort of, on the wings, they're sort of saying. But they're going to be special.
45 degrees.
Special green balls, and they're calling it the Mountain Dew Zone. So it's a serious, plug and sponsorship there.
Yeah, so is that sponsored by, like, Sprite or something like that, or Pepsi?
I think
Pepsi owns Mountain Dew, don't they?
Pepsi, they own Mountain Dew, that's correct. It's
an inadvertent ad for Pepsi.
It'll be fun. I get why you're saying it. Don't get me wrong. I get why you're saying it. It'll be fun purely because Dame Lillard shoots 1,000 or at least 90 threes beyond 6 foot. That's why I think he's going to take it out. I can't see.
There's nothing wrong with the 3-point contest the way it is. They've got the full rack full of money balls and things like that now. I just don't know why they've got to add stupid gimmicky crap.
I guess because
that's
a lot
as gimmicky as you can get.
Oh, it is gimmicky. I guess because a lot of players are, I don't know. I guess because a lot of players are shooting lights out from the, or maybe the big three is so competitive. Now.
Ice Cube's being innovative. The NBA wants to cash in.
That sort of rounds out, I guess, the roster. Obviously, that's the roster citing injuries. There's most likely going to be some players are out. The thing we didn't sort of touch on is the new rules for the All-Star game. a lot of this, I guess, well, I'll say all the new rules. So each quarter is broken up into each quarter. So, like, whoever wins each corner, that team will earn $100,000 for their charity. So, yes, there'll still be a cumulative score at the end.
The scores reset after each quarter.
Correct. The fourth quarter, it resets after each quarter, but if it's going into it, as they're saying for the fourth quarter, say it's 85-80 to LeBron's team, it's the first team to get to 24 points. So that's not 24 points, by the way, of Giannis's 80 team, as an example. It's the first to get to 24 of the leading scorer team. So if Giannis's team is 5 points of fine, they've got to make 29 points.
Yeah. Still, the only problem with that, the All-Star game, you score like 180 points in four quarters. So 24 points, man, that's going to be over in like 5 minutes. Like, that's the only problem I see with it.
Well,
that's the only problem I see. Unless they change that and do, you know, sort of pick up rules where you got to go, up in ones and then threes are worth two. But what do you do with free throws?
I don't know if it's going to be pickup rules. I just, like, I agree with you.
24 points, man. That's gonna be 4 or 5 minutes, and the fourth quarter's gonna be over.
Do they actually try in the fourth quarter and actually, you know, play a proper game in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, because,
It's gonna be 200, which is ridiculous in a
game. Once they go back to normal, like, the All-Star game isn't gonna be far off getting, you know, to be 200 plus. Ridiculous. This, you know, if this anything, hopefully this, you know, this sort of rule change and the thing that they do, like they're going to do in the fourth quarter and play defense, hopefully this sort of carries over into next year. And even if it's only the second half of the All-Star game, they actually play a bit of defense. I don't think it's going to hurt anybody whatsoever.
No, I don't think so. But, It's I guess they're just doing it for Kobe. I mean, it's an interesting way of doing it. It's cool, but
great. So I hope they continue that legacy on for the rest of time. Hey everybody, let's try in an All-Star game. Not just stand around like statues on defensively. It's not that it's boring, but it's these guys are professionals. Like, they're gonna make everything anyway because that's what these guys do.
Have you got all the players in front of you at all? Like the NBA All-Star roster for 2020?
I do.
Because I had I haven't told you about this, but I thought I'd have a fun exercise. Because obviously this year they're going to televise and actually get to pick the teams.
Oh my God.
So I just want to see.
They did that last year.
So, yeah, but I'm going to say, like, say you take, I don't care who you'll take, if you want to take Giannis or LeBron, and we'll just pick and see how close we get to sort of see who they're going to pick.
Okay. Sprung that on me a little bit.
We got time. So
I just want to put something over the top of each name, say who we've got and who we don't. That's all right. We can, let's go for it. Who's picking first?
Well, if going from the vote getter, LeBron picks first, but it's up to you. You take LeBron or you take Giannis.
That's you.
All right.
That's you. I don't want anything to do with that.
This is where I'm so worried about being LeBron. Like, who do I pick? But to me, the first person I've got to take is Anthony Davis.
Of course you do.
Because why wouldn't you?
Are you crazy?
No, I know, but the reason I sprung you on this before you pick yours is because Shaq and Chuck did the same thing.
So we're stealing content again. Sweet.
Of course we are. But Chuck, you know, Chuck didn't take Anthony Davis first, and he had LeBron.
All right. That's a poor decision. That's a poor decision straight up.
He took Kawhi Leonard first.
Oh, no. I'm not even going to take him. I'm going to take Luka Doncic.
That would be my next pick. So, Luca. Okay. So, Fuck.
Oh, language.
Sorry. I'm going to take...
Just pick.
No, I'm going to take James Harden.
Well, Western Conference so far.
Yeah.
I'm going to take Trae Young.
Wow. I am going to take Kawhi Leonard.
Pascal Siakam.
Oh, God damn it. That was my next choice. Oh, I need some timber. Oh, I've got what's his name, but I need some timber in there. Well, yeah, okay. I'm going to have to take Joel Embiid.
Boo. All right, Kemba will have to do.
Kemba will have to do. Okay, so that's our starting five.
That is our starters.
That's not a, I mean, if you look at it, so you've got Giannis, Luka, Trey, Siakam, and Kemba. That's a, defensively, that's a great starting five. And offensively, you know, just give the ball to Trey and Luka and just, well,
exactly.
And then you got
Giannis. Man, Trey Young is going to work hard and over something chronic. and vice versa. Like, don't get me wrong, and vice versa.
So I think the way they do the next one is that it flips around, so then it's your first pick on the reserves.
Okay, so, man.
Yeah, it's hard now. The reserves are, because I know who you want to pick.
It's not. Damian Lillard.
Oh, damn it. Okay.
That wasn't even a question. Yeah, sorry, Damian Lillard.
Damian Lillard, okay. I'm going to have to take a guard. I was going to take Damian Lillard, but I'm going to take... Oh, I don't want to, but I'm going to have to. Oh, man. that's really... I'll take Westbrook. I'll take Westbrook.
Rusty. CP3.
Yep. Of course you're going to take CP3.
My man. That's my man.
It is your boy. So, okay. Okay. I'm going to take the Joker.
Okay. Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, well, that's all that or Sabonis as a next obvious choice. Oh, Adebayo. I will take. Oh God, you know what? Because he's how good he's been playing. I'm gonna take Brandon Ingram. I think Brandon Ingram is gonna be dead set trying to push him to be an MVP. He'll just want the ball the whole time. I don't know how he's gonna.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, possibly. Jason Tatum. I like Tatum a lot. And not just because he played for Duke. Not because he played for the Blue Devils either. But I really
Tatum is so versatile. He can play front court or back court. That's why back court. That's why I like
he's more Tatum. He's more of a front court player because he's long and lengthy, but yeah, no, I like Jason Tatum's game a lot.
Jimmy Butler.
Ooh. Sabonis.
Who?
Sabonis.
Oh, Sabonis. Yep. Yeah. For process assimilation of elimination, I'm taking Adebayo.
Ooh.
Purely because. There's no more real dedicated center forwards left.
No, that's right, exactly. Chris Middleton.
I'm gonna take LeBron's boy Ben Simmons because I know he'll pick Ben Simmons.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, he'll be picking him early too. Don't worry about that.
Well, they traded for him last year, didn't they?
Well, we got to something stupid like that. So what have we got two left? So I guess I'll take Donovan Mitchell.
Which means I've got to take Kyle Lowry. I mean, look, he hasn't been playing bad. The Raptors have been playing good.
There's just guys that are playing better than that.
You're right. There's guys that have been playing a lot better. So we'll see how we go after that. after or now that we've picked, to see how close they're going to get. I'm pretty, I don't know, looking at the starters, I could see Giannis, like, I feel like LeBron's going to take Davis straight up.
Oh, 100%.
And I can see Giannis really taking Luka. So I think that's top four done. It's the rest that sort of what happens from there. Unless Giannis goes Kawhi, I just don't see it.
Yeah, but that could be. No, I still think you take Doncic.
I think so. And then it's going to be just a potluck from the last. I mean, to me, I know you took Trae Young, but I don't know. It's either Trae Young or Kemba that'll get picked last, but I guess
we'll have. No, I think it's going to be Kyle Lowry. Well, actually, Eastern Conference guard as well. What about Bradley Beal?
Yeah. Bradley Beal, yeah.
Devin Booker for the West. Like, you know, there was sort of, you know, a few things. I don't think Devin Booker's quite there. You haven't sort of seen those. You know, I think you've heard a lot more of Bradley Beal on a bad team than what you have of Devin Booker on a bad team.
So that'll be 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 first-time All-Star players this year, which that has to be a record. That has to be close to being the most.
I don't know about a record, but that have to be up there. Like that's definitely on the high side.
It's the new generation of
player coming through. You know, guys that have got, you know, that high ceiling. You know, Tatum, Sabonis, Mitchell, Siakam, Trae Young, Luke. All those guys that they're the future of the league.
Exactly what I was going to say. I mean, it's great that us as fans, the All-Star, I guess voters, still get a bit weird with the way they're voting, but at least the coaches and the players are recognizing these first-time All-Star players. When I mean weird, like when you get Caruso still finishing in top four is ridiculous.
That's just ridiculous. And that's just what's wrong with you people.
Yeah. What would you people? Any other sort of news you wanted to touch on before we wrap it up?
No, well, I just obviously we don't have to touch on it too much, but Kyrie Irving hurt again after putting up 54 against Chicago and then gets hurt the next night playing against Washington. He got tangled up a little bit with Bradley Beal, and they sort of both went down, and he sort of got up clutching his knee a little bit. He's got a history of left knee injuries, you know, sort of going all the way back to Cleveland. So it's his right knee this time, but I guess, you know, Brooklyn is only going to be as cautious as ever. Be very delicate with Kyrie Irving, because, you know, obviously that's the future and next year with KD. So he's out for at least a week. So, you know, that's just more games that'll be piling on that he's missed this year, and I guess they really don't have to change too much the Nets with the way that Spencer Dinwiddie's playing, so they really don't have to change their style too much. They just go back to how they're playing for most of the year.
Other news I was sort of looking to touch on was for the Grizzlies, as well as they're playing, their young guys, Dylan Brooks, and Ja Morant just liked the thing, I guess, or retweeted it, but Dylan Brooks has come out.
He retweeted it with like the shouting emoji, so I guess he's sort of getting out a proclamation of hear ye, I procure the same sentiments as Dylan Brooks.
And so, Dylan Brooks has come out to say basically on Andre Iguodala, I can't wait till we find a trade for him so we can play him and show what Memphis is about. On one side,
right. he wants to play against him. He wants that smoke. He wants it.
In one side, I totally get it. I mean, they're finishing, they're top eight. They would relish having a veteran in that side.
Not even
like
with the team. He's not even doing anything with the team.
He
hasn't been assigned a team jersey. He's not being fined by the team or the league. So I don't know if it's widely known, but there has to have been some sort of agreement put in there that he just simply wasn't. I remember hearing that at the start of the year, that he simply wasn't going to play for Memphis, but he's been out there all this year and they're asking for a first round pick, and clearly the price is too high, because surely teams would have taken up on the offer by now until waiting until the trade deadline in a couple of days.
They have no choice but buying him out.
They're trying to play a bit of hardball with him and seeing what they might have been able to get for him. And that's unfortunate for Memphis that they're pretty much going to lose out in that trade.
Yeah, that's right. But I mean, look, it could be a two-pronged effect. He could come in and you know ruin the way the team chemistry is too. But
it's a possibility. He's been sitting the whole year.
Yeah.
Like I get it. He hasn't been playing ball, so that means he hasn't got the reps on his legs or anything like that. But is he going to be the same player that they want? Or, do you know what I mean? Like everybody's remembering him, you know, in the NBA Finals a few years ago against Cleveland with where we got the Finals MVP supposedly shutting LeBron down, even though LeBron averaged like friggin' 32 points or 33 points for that season for those Finals. How that's shutting him down, I'm not 100% sure. That seems a little bizarre to me. I don't know who they think they're going to get.
No, I don't know either. I think a first round pick's a bit too high. I mean, really, he's a veteran player.
Depends on what team it is. If it's a high seeded team, then that first round pick is obviously going to be in the bottom 10. So say if it's LA, well, LA doesn't own any picks until like 2045. Whether it's the Clippers, well, they don't own a pick until like 2055 after all the ones that they gave away to Oklahoma City. So
it won't be the Lakers or the Clippers.
If they go on the buyout market, then that just goes on the salary cap. So yeah, it's not going to happen in this trade deadline. That nobody's going to be trading for him.
So he's got an expiring contract. He's on his last $17.2 million contract. So they're going to have to buy him out. I mean, or they just let it run out. Like, what do you do? Buy out too. Well, that is a big amount buyout. I found it funny when obviously Dylan Brooks come out and Ja Morant then come up with that sort of shouting emoji. Steph Curry chimed in with his little bit of like he did a shush emoji.
Andre is going to have the allegiance. So why? He doesn't need to have allegiance to him anymore. He's got to come out and say he stole my Finals MVP.
Well, so he did a shush emoji with Andre holding the Larry O'Brien trophy. But then Ja Morant's come out and done another shush emoji with like one of these ones with Kevin Durant holding the trophy. So to Steph Curry. So, Mike, you know, it's awesome.
Oh, man. The pettiness of NBA players is excellent on Twitter. I love it.
Oh, we probably should be on there. It's although you just go on ESPN and nobody.
Yeah, should start following more stuff on the Final Play Pod Twitter account.
We just need Rachel Nichols to follow us, and then we'll follow her.
Well, she gets all the goss. Right, shout out to Rachel Nichols. Give us a holler.
Yes, we. So hers is at Rachel_Nichols. Ours, Rachel, if you're out there, is at the Final Play Pod. So please give us a follow.
Muchly appreciated.
That would be very, very much appreciated. Well, that'll, I guess, do it. Now I've already mentioned sort of one social, but don't forget to follow us on all the other socials, Facebook, SoundCloud. The Final Play Podcast is what we're called. My name's Jason.
My name's Miles. Let's have a fun the next couple of days to the trade deadline and keep an eye on those phones and Twitter and everything else that you need to keep an eye on so we can keep a hide at those, track those free agent deals and the trade deals. And we'll talk a little more extensively about that next week.
And we'll see if our all-star picks have, if we're very close to what they're.
Well, can you go wrong, honestly?
You could honestly, if you, this would be a stacked team, but you could always do the, if you had the NBA game on a PlayStation or an Xbox, you could create this whole team by yourself, which would be unfairly stacked, but it'd be interesting to see those two teams play against each other.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Well, hold up. Well, before we finish, we'll talk about some bonus Jubba talk. We have mentioned one player before they keep whinging.
We did mention Big D and his Bryce towards the Miami Heat as well. So,
And Benny Vincent and his what I just call the shooting technique.
AKA Julius Randle.
Julius Randle. We played All-Star Weekend. Yeah, we played All-Star Weekend.
It is All-Star Weekend. Come on.
Div 4 straight A weekend here in Mackay. What is that, our 12th year now? 12th or 13th? Oh, I was trying to add it up the other day.
We started going back in like 2004, like back again in like 2004 or 2003. So, yeah, it's been, there's always been teams there since at least 04.
So that's now up to 15, 16 years.
Yeah.
We have won 10 of them, which is really good. I'm not going to say what division, but we've won 10 of them.
That doesn't matter. The divisions don't matter. Which is represented on somebody's leg around here, which nobody else. Everybody else is too scared to get the ink. So, you know, little jab there.
True.
Not being scared.
I know some people that. Do we throw some names out there to see who actually won't get the ink?
Oh, no, 100%, two people will not. Oh, I could say 100%.
I could say three people. I'd say that the actual, what we call the sock blocker, which is a whole different thing we'll have to talk about later, the sock blocker accomplice. and Mr. Niafutu. That'll be this. So I'm saying Gruber, Yannick, and Steph. There's no way they would have.
You don't reckon Gruber would? There's no way. There's no chance in hell that Mark gets it.
Really? Mark. God damn it, Mark.
I think Didier said he was in. I think Yendo sort of half said he was in, but he's not getting one. I reckon Gruber might get a little sneaky one. On his ankle or something like that. He's not afraid of no tattoos. He's got a couple.
No.
Almost 100% chance. Nos doesn't get one.
That's it.
You just say 1,000% chance that he doesn't get one.
Really?
I reckon the Don might get like a whole big massive wolf on his back, like just go full on and get a gigantic Jubba symbol on his back. You know, just go the whole hog, so to speak. Big D. I don't know. The Big D doesn't seem like the tattooing kind.
Unless something is like, what is he, size 19 shoes? Like,
yeah, I think he's like the Big Show. He's like 20, 26, 5E shoe. Sure.
He could put it somewhere on his foot. You wouldn't even notice.
it'd be bigger than the one I got on my leg. Holy.
It'd be a rocket.
That whole thing right there would be able to fit on Dallas's foot.
It'd be a rocket of a tattoo.
Oh,
my God.
Don't even mention the word rocket.
What else are we going to talk about with everybody?
Unfortunate. We won 4 out of 6 games and we still didn't even make the final, so that was pretty disappointing.
No, I mean, I think this year with us, it's never been, to me, I can't remember the last time it happened, but the first game really determined our whole weekend.
Yeah, that was unfortunate. We had a late comer, you know, when somebody had to drive down from Townsville in the morning of, and yeah, you know, that was it was a good weekend. We caught up with some old school ballers from back in the day in Bowen too. So yeah, it was good to see Johnny Nicol and yeah, we always see Jumbo Miller there, and he's got. Yeah, he's got his boys playing for him or playing with him now. So, yeah, it's good to see sort of the next generation of Miller boys carrying on the tradition there for Bowen basketball. So, that's always good to see.
Yeah, good. And they've been playing as long as we have, I believe.
Oh, Jumbo! Oh, that's it. The young fellas. Yeah, they've been playing for a little while, but yeah, Jumbo. We played against Jumbo and when we were in high school and we were playing senior basketball with the adults, and we were playing against Jumbo Miller and those guys for X-Men. So that's it's a little old school there, a little bit of X-Men T-Wolves little Bowen basketball rivalry that sort of ballooned out of control a little bit there when we were seniors. But yeah, that was. But yeah, that's. I mean, it was still an awesome weekend. You know, yeah. I still owe Mark $25 for the shopping. So I'm not. I actually should take a little bit off that because he bought two things of mayo and we didn't even open one. So I reckon take at least a little bit of money off that. He's going to have to give me his offshore account details that's in the Canary Islands. So, yeah. So if you're listening to this portion of it, Marky, make sure you send us those legitimate offshore account details to me. And I can give you that $25, well, whether it be cash, you know, PayPal or Bitcoin. So,
well, technically Springshore is offshore, so we'll say that.
Shout out to
Springshore.
Shout out to Springshore. I think they got a bit. I think they've had a bit of rain this week too. So shout out to Springshore.
Have they?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that's always good. Yeah, shout out to the Jubba boys. A couple of fellas couldn't make it. This year. So you know that's unfortunate for Jeff for being indecisive, and not being on Facebook anymore. Gruber could only play a couple of those. Well, we missed the first game and the last game, which were kind of funnily enough the two games that we lost. So I don't know how much we all want to take into account that little statistic. So, but yeah, shout out to the boys that came down for us and. Unfortunately the Don couldn't make it either, McGee, so that was
we're gonna have to start working out, like, because you can only, well, I'll do it in inverted commas because I'm sure other teams aren't doing it, but you can only legally have 10 players on the books for that weekend.
Yeah, I do believe that there was a team out there that was playing with more than the allotted amount of players out there, so we probably should have made finals. But just quietly, I don't think we would have been in too much shape to be playing too much on the Monday morning. It was a bit of a large night on Sunday night, so I think Monday morning might have hurt a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And just to let you know, Yannick, if you're listening, I wasn't loud. But a good Australian game again, had by all. They're always good. It's always good to sort of catch up with everybody. We don't do it as often as we'd all like. You know, everybody's got families and kids and work. Stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So we don't. Yeah, we're saying yeah, work and you know, nobody cares about work. just the fun stuff. You know, families and kids and stuff like that. You know, honey. So, but you know, yeah, we totally need to try and do it more often. But yeah, with everybody sort of spread all over the place now, it's a bit hard. So, but you know, it's always an awesome weekend, and we always appreciate everybody's efforts on what they do over the weekend and how far they travel from. Except you, because you only got to travel like 15 minutes. So that's
it's an effort. What are you talking about? You. It's a massive effort still. What are you talking about? And I get to stay away from the house too for a night. It's the best weekend.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. You sleep in the luxurious Pacific sands.
Yeah, I had Big D this time. I don't get to choose, but I had Big D this time. Oh, he D, pushed the bed tough. Together for some reason. I don't know what they've
done. That's just for him.
Yeah, I know, but he could have separated them when I got in there. He didn't separate those beds.
No, he didn't want any of that, no. He wanted all of what you had to offer, all of it.
And I wanted all of that 25 each. okay, well.
Shout out to Fergs. That's who I bunked in with. There was plenty of wrestling watched, and we talked a whole lot of crap as well. So yeah, that was awesome fun. There was a whole sort of night there of just Simpsons quotes. So that was awesome.
Well, have a good week, everybody.
I'm sure everybody enjoyed the Jubba talk, so hopefully the boys get off our backs about that. So, yeah, make sure you boys listen.
And like it and share it. Because
right. Otherwise, follow, like, share, reshare, retweet.
We're never going to talk about you again if you don't. That's pretty much that.
You'll be blacklisted.
peace, everyone.
See ya.